Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Why don't we stand together as we sing this great hymn of praise, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's sing this together.
Of worship already in our early service and then Bible study, and we're thankful to have you. If you're participating online, welcome. If you'll follow the prompts on the screen to let us know that you're with us, we would love to have a record of that. If you're a guest in the room, we would ask you to take a moment to either scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, scan the QR code in the worship guide, or tear off of the worship guide and fill that out and give that to us at the conclusion of the service. We have a gift for you. We'd love to send you in the mail. You will enjoy it. So we hope that you will take time to do that. We would greatly appreciate that. I want to go ahead and say that our Church of the Week and Missionary of the Week, if you're looking at your worship guide, surprise, it's the same people from last week. So we had a little misunderstanding. It's the same folks 2 weeks in a row. Everybody needs prayer. So First Baptist Gunnersville really needs a lot of prayer. So we're going to pray for them for 2 weeks, and Real Life Pregnancy Resource Centers as well. And so we're thankful to pray for both of them and would encourage you to do so. Also, I want to go ahead and mention right up front that tonight at First Baptist Guntersville is the performance of our worship choir along with First Baptist of Boaz's worship choir and First Baptist Guntersville's worship choir together combined And it's going to be a wonderful time. It's at the Worship God says it's at 6 p.m. If you come at 6, you'll get like one song and then it's over. It really starts at 5. So that's a misprint. It's at 5 p.m. this evening at First Baptist Gunnersville. If you're one of our senior members and maybe you already have a ticket, but that's a ticketed event, by the way, and I think there's less than about 10 tickets left that Don has. Those are free, but because there's only 10 left, he said he's charging tonight for whoever wants those. So now if you'd like a ticket, see him after the service. He'll fix you up with what we have left. That's just to control seating and to make sure we can fit everyone in the county in that wants to be there. But if you are one of our senior members who has a ticket, but maybe you're not so interested in driving in the dark all the way to Gunnersville or trying to find parking, I'll be driving the minibus. We'll leave here at 4:15 from the Baltimore Avenue parking lot. Would love to have you come and ride with me and Lily. We will be your host for a small tip. You would be glad to take good care of you. So, we would love for you to come and go with us. So, with all that being said, who's ready for baptism? Guys, I am so excited to present Lauren Moore to you. Now, Lauren, I'm going to let you turn and face everyone here for just a moment. First of all, we're excited for anyone who gets baptized because it's showing, it's publicly declaring that you have invited Jesus into your life, that you have received his gift of salvation, that he's made us new in him. What's really exciting about Lauren for me is this. Lauren is an active part of our Cahill ministry. She's been attending the Thursday Cahill Kids Club for years. And so if you've ever volunteered there and served there and you think, are we making an impact? Listen, Lauren would say yes, by all means. And she's so thankful that we have Cahill on Thursdays. And so I want to thank all of those who have served and those who give to make that happen. And so she gave her life to the Lord about a month ago, and we've been able to talk, and her parents are here. We're very excited about this. So with that being said, Lauren, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. What grade are you in? Fifth grade. So I just wanted to mention that to everyone. We're so thankful, again, for years working her way up through there. Lauren, I know you and I talked about this, but I want to make sure everyone in the room knows it as well, that this baptism does not save us. This is not what gets us to heaven. This is a symbol. It's very warm water, isn't it? It's very warm water. It's just a symbol as we go under the water and come back up. It's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a symbol of us dying to our old ways, being cleansed and made new by him, and coming forth into new life in him. It's a symbol. And so today we declare publicly and profess our faith in Jesus. So just like hundreds of people in this room have already done this, you're following a great tradition of believers who say, I have Jesus in my life. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I would love for you to pray and ask him to save you from yourself, to save you from your own devices, to save you from your sin, and to give you new life. And then you too can follow through in believer's baptism at some point in the future. So with that being said, I'm so excited for this time. Lauren, it's my privilege to baptize you as my sister in the faith, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is exciting and so thrilling to do that. I might just preach from up here. It feels good in this warm water. No, I'll come down. So we're so thankful that you've come to worship with us. We are going to sing now, after our prayer, a song that's probably new to most of us in the room, but it's a beautiful worship song. Don will sing the first verse and then invite us to join in. And I want to encourage you just to focus your mind's attention, your heart's affection for these next few minutes as we focus on Jesus and as we focus on the humble King. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege to gather for baptism. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to gather to worship. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to gather to open the word and hear from you. Lord, my prayer is that before this service is over, someone else would give their life to you. My prayer is that before this service is over, others would make a renewed commitment to live for you, to honor you. Lord, that you would teach us from your word. But Father, right now, before we open your word, would you allow us to bless your name? Would you allow us to bless you as we sing about you and to you? Lord, we want to worship you for a few moments together. So we come to adore the humble King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, give him praise. There is something wonderful about the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We declare his name. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's sing that together.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Not just let heaven and earth alone declare it. Let's do it ourselves. There's something about the name of Jesus. You shouted in a crowded room and someone might want to get in a fight. You shouted in a crowded room and worship might break out. You speak it softly in the doctor's office and it can be a holy moment. You speak it softly at the bedside of someone who is soon going to be with Jesus, and I promise you it is a holy moment. The name of Jesus invokes so many emotions and thoughts. But it's not our only name for him. Today we will call him Emmanuel, God with us. But for you, we've lived our lives 400 different ways this week. And so I'm not saying that Jesus has changed for you, but I'm saying he meets you where you are. So today, maybe he's your provider. Maybe he's your way maker. Maybe he's your sustainer. Maybe he's your forgiver. He's your trusted friend. He's the way, the truth, the life. But will you take a moment right now with a loud voice and just who is he to you this week? What name for Jesus do you bring to worship today? I'll start. Wonderful Counselor. Who is he today?
Healer.
Healer. Say it loud.
Comforter.
Comforter.
Savior.
Savior. friend, redeemer,
father,
provider,
the lamb.
Who else? Who is he for you this week?
Mighty God,
our peace.
Helper.
My life.
My hope.
My hope. Savior.
Healer.
Prince of peace.
Friend.
The Lord of lords.
The King of kings.
The Alpha and the Omega.
The first and the last.
The Lion of the tribe of Judah.
He's the soon
returning King.
He's coming again.
We celebrate
the first Advent
where he came the first
time with our wonderful
Advent devotion with
this entire series.
But let's take a
moment to celebrate the
fact that kings and
kingdoms are going to pass
away, but
Jesus
is going to
return.
And so let's take
just a moment to
worship him. Kings
and kingdoms. One
more time. Let's sing
that. Kings and kingdoms.
Don, let's lift it together.
Kings and kingdoms shall
God, we sing to you and about you. We lift up your name. We're now going to open the word and we're going to see you. We will see how you teach us, how you lead us, how you saved us. We will see your plan for your son. We will see your plan for your people. We will see your plan for your sons and daughters in this room. God, thank you that Lauren said yes to Jesus a month ago, and now she sees him in a whole new light. Thank you that others will follow suit in the days to come, maybe even someone today. So God, I ask that you'd speak to us as we open your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We continue on in our series called The Glory of Christmas. If you have been reading our Advent devotions, the book, The Glorious Arrival, that Susie Hilsman wrote the devotions for, today is day 15. There are still 17 more. So if this is your first Sunday here, you've not been able to pick up a copy of the devotion book, we have just a small number left available. They're free. We'd love for you to get one. They're right outside the worship center doors against the wall here, and we would encourage you to grab one of those on the way out. You need to be reading with us. You can pick right up today with December 15th and just carry on from there. No problem at all. It'll be a good treasure you can use every December from now on, and would encourage you to do so. How many Christmas songs can you think of that include the word dream or dreaming? I came up with three. It's all I could come up with. And I love Christmas music, so I had to really rack my brain for these three. You know the first one. If you know it, sing along.
I'm dreaming of a Christmas.
That's perfect. I thought somebody said wet Christmas. Amen. You're getting it right outside today. So the second one is very obscure. No one in the early service even acted like they had ever heard of it. Frank Sinatra recorded it many, many years ago. Harry Connick Jr. re-recorded it about 20 years ago. On both of them, it's like a number 9 song on a 10 song album, so it's not very well known. But the words say, I'm doing my Christmas dreaming a little early this year. Anybody know that song? Just my wife. Thank you. Okay, great. So it's a beautiful song. I'm doing my Christmas dreaming, Lily. It's with you, baby. Okay, all right. So here we go. Just give us a moment. Number three, this one everyone knows, made popular during a time when we were at war, and the song was written to encourage. It says this, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Some of y'all are singing it while I'm talking. That's good. Christmas Eve will find me where? Where the love light gleams. But you're like me, you don't know what a love light is. It's okay, all right? It says, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dream. What a beautiful song. Very good, guys. Nice job. Now, I couldn't find any Christmas carols, hymns, songs that we sing of worship that include the dream. There might be one, but I've missed it. I couldn't find it. Which is interesting to me because the Christmas story has so many dreams in the story. In fact, Joseph alone is one of the greatest dreamers we find in the scripture. Now, I'm not talking about Joseph the dreamer from the Old Testament. 1850 years before Jesus comes to earth, Joseph, the son of Jacob, who is also known as Israel, has a dream. And in a series of dreams that he ends up basically saving the known world and definitely saving the bloodline of Israel. When he brings them, and Joseph would save the people of God by bringing them out of where they were into Egypt to save them from the great famine. That he was known as Joseph the dreamer. We know him that way. But today we're going to talk about Joseph, the other dreamer, the other Joseph. And that's the father of Jesus, because he had four dreams where God spoke to him. And this Joseph also saved the bloodline of the Savior. This Joseph also saved the entire world by protecting the Savior. But he too took the Messiah, where the first Joseph took the people of God and brought them to Egypt to save them. This Joseph takes the Savior of the world and brings him to Egypt in order to save him and allow him to come later to become our Messiah. So this Joseph saved the world as well. Let's look and see. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, this passage teaches us many things about Joseph, but there's one overarching theme that is the main point of this entire message today, and here it is: who you are matters. Let me say it again. That's the theme here. Who you are matters. Joseph knew who he was. Look at what it says. In verse 20, the angel calls him a son of David. Joseph was a son of David. Who you are matters. Joseph was from the bloodline of the royal king of Israel, and we know that the prophecy said the Messiah would come from this bloodline. So he knew that from his line, somewhere down the line, would come the Savior of the world. Next, we see that Joseph was a man of grace and truth. He could have divorced Mary very publicly. He could have even brought her shame. He could have even seen her harmed by the fact that she was pregnant and he had not had relations with her, so he knew it was not his child. It would have been proper for him to divorce her. It would have been allowed for him to punish her. But instead, he decides to do what he believes is the right thing and the just thing, and that is to separate from her, to divorce her, but to do it quietly as to save her from any embarrassment. He wants to show truth and grace at the same time. And so Joseph was a man of grace. Next, right after this, the dreams start coming. And before the story is over, he will dream four times. God will speak to him four times, and four times he will do what God says to do. Look quickly at verse 23. It says, "The angel said to him in his first dream, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Emmanuel, God with us. And so he knows this scripture. And so when the angel is quoting from Isaiah 7:14, this matters to Joseph. Why? Because Joseph, again, who you are matters. Joseph was a man of God's word. Joseph knew the Old Testament. Remember, there was no New Testament. This was the dawn of the New Testament. They were writing the first chapters of the first book of the New Testament about this man in a few months after this, or excuse me, a few years after this. So Joseph was a man of God's word. He knew the book of Isaiah. He knew the prophecy. So when the angel quoted it to him, he knew to pay attention and to do what it says. Friends, let me say this to you today. You have to know the word of God to trust the words of God. Let me say that again. There are people in this room who will say, oh, I believe God's word. Well, let me ask you, have you read it? It's one thing to say you believe it. It's another thing to read it. And then there are those that say, well, I believe the Bible, but maybe we're not taking steps to follow it. Again, you have to know the word of God to trust the word of God. And we will never live the grace and truth of God without first knowing the word of God. The Bible matters greatly in your existence and mine. So let's look at the rest of these dreams really quickly and then apply this to our lives today. So the first dream would be followed by these three. Look at Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Jesus is born. Months pass by. Joseph cares for his family. Then wise men from the east, many months later, show up to worship Jesus. And after they leave, Joseph has another angel visit him in a second dream. Now look at Matthew 2, verse 13. Here's the second dream. Now when they had departed, the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I will call my son. So the second dream happens, and immediately he gets up in the middle of the night and leaves with Mary and Jesus to go to Egypt. And then the third and fourth dream happen after Mary and Joseph and Jesus spend somewhere between a few months to maybe up to 2.5 years in Egypt, hiding from Herod. Scholars disagree on the time based, we're just looking at timelines of when Herod was alive and when he died, but it's somewhere between a few months all the way up to 2.5 years they live in Egypt, and they are away, and they're waiting for Herod to die. And then this happens next, Matthew 2:19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So that's dream number three. And he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, that's the fourth dream, being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So here's what's interesting. Every time Joseph had a dream, he obeyed. And every time he obeyed, another prophecy from the Old Testament about Jesus was fulfilled. Have you ever stopped to think that your obedience and my obedience matters in God's plan and God's scheme? It matters in what God is up to and what God is going to do. Your obedience and mine matters. Now, each time Joseph received a dream, he obeyed instantly. Listen to these four phrases at the end of each dream. Number one, the first dream. Then he says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Then dream number two, and he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. At the end of dream number three, and he rose and took the child and his mother and he went to the land of Israel. Then at the end of dream number four, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So If you want to know who you are and why it matters, know this about Joseph. Joseph obeyed God. Now, none of Joseph's steps of obedience were easy. I want you to think about it for a moment. Go back to the first dream. He lost his reputation by staying with Mary. Because even though it would have been hard for Joseph to believe that Mary had become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can believe that no one around them was going to believe that. And so he was going to lose his reputation. But not only that, after the next dream, when he is told to go and flee to Egypt, he will lose his business because he had been plying his trade. But when you're told in the middle of the night to pick up and go and move to another country, as a refugee, you flee and you don't take things with you. So he lost his business. But not only that, he would lose the comforts of his home. He would lose relationships with family. He lost a lot in being obedient to the dreams that God had given him. But Joseph also got to be a part of God's plan of salvation. He got to be up close and personal with the Savior of the world. He raised him. He gained an eternal reputation that's never going to end. That's why we're reading about him today. That's why every nativity scene you will see that immortalizes the birth of the Savior puts Joseph right there over the protective shoulder of Jesus. He's protecting Jesus and he's watching over him and Mary. He gained an eternal reputation. Friends, let me tell you something. If you will follow the things that Jesus tells you to do, I'm not telling you that everything in life on this earth is always going to be better. I'm not saying you'll have more money. I'm not saying you'll necessarily have more influence, but I'm telling you this, you will gain an eternal reputation that will be reminded and remembered forevermore. The Lord will remember those that do the things he's called us to do. He will allow us to walk with him and serve with him. The scripture is so clear in Revelation chapter 14. It says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Lord. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds have followed them there. Friends, look me in the eyes for just a moment. Your deeds on this earth that have eternal value will follow you to heaven. Your deeds will follow you to heaven. That's a big deal. We either believe God's word or we don't, but I believe it. And so what we do on this earth matters. So who you are matters too. Think about what we've said today. Let's apply it from Joseph's life now to your life and mine. First of all, we said this, Joseph knew he was of the royal lineage of King Jesus. Listen, friends, if you know Jesus, you are a daughter of the Most High King. If you know Jesus, you are a son of the Most High King. I've had you do this before, but do it again. Turn to that person next to you and say, you're a daughter of the King. You're a son of the King. Come on, call it out for them. That's a lot nicer than what you said to him on the way to church. Come on. So they're the son and daughter of the King. All right, listen, Lily and I'm going to tell you something. I know that sometimes Sunday mornings are hard, but Lily and I have never once, ever, in 28 years of marriage, had an argument on Sunday morning. Now you say, well, Chris, I'm so proud of you. It's because I leave the house at 5 a.m. on Sundays and leave her. So that's the truth of the matter. She would say it's a good thing, too. So the reality is that's the case. But the truth is, no matter what you said to your spouse on the way here today, I hope it was something sweet and good. But the reality is now we can tell them you are a son of the Most High King. You're a daughter of the King. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Now listen, that's the truth from God's word. So if Joseph knew who he was, who you are matters, and Joseph knew it, you need to know it too. Listen, you're a royal priest, a people belonging to God. People who need to hear about Jesus, they don't have to go to some other priest. Listen, Jesus, the high priest, said, we are his royal priests. You can share Jesus with them. You can pray for others. We don't have to go and ask a priest to pray for them. We pray to Jesus, the high priest. You can pray for others. You can care for others. We can make a difference for others. Know who you are because it matters. Second, we said that Joseph was a man of grace and truth, and Mary was blessed because of that. Well, listen, you and I have received the grace of God. If you know Jesus, you've received it, so we're equipped to pass that grace on to others. Can I encourage you? Show mercy when it is undeserved. Show kindness when it is unmerited. Show grace to others because you've received it, not because they deserve it, but because you've received it and they need it. Listen, in a day and age, in a time, a season this last number of days before Christmas, life gets stressful. Life gets busy. It gets stressful. People start acting really tacky. I was trying to pull into a restaurant a couple of days ago, and I was politely waiting behind the person in front of me who was trying to back out of a to-go parking. I was trying to pull into the to-go parking, and they got so mad, they started honking their horn, and I gave them plenty of room to back up, and they were so ill about it and backed up and got so mad and all this, and I kept sitting there thinking, I'm about to get mad back because I had been sick for 4 days, and I wanted my sickness to come oozing out right there. And so I thought about it for just a moment. Then when that car backed up and they turned to walk by me, it was a church member. I mean, they don't come anymore, but they're still a member. So I just smiled. I didn't get mad. I'm glad I didn't get mad and show that could have been you. Listen, sometimes just a little act of mercy, a little act of kindness can go a long way. The reality is, friends, if you need to know who you are a person of grace and truth. Or at least you can be. So it is good to speak truth, but listen, there's offer grace, offer mercy, offer kindness to others. Next, Joseph was a man of God's word. He knew the Old Testament. That was the reason when the angel quoted two different passages to him from the Old Testament, he was willing to say, this is serious and this means business. Friends, you and I need to know God's word as well. If we're ever going to live it, we've got to know it. If you're not in God's word, start with our devotion book. Susie has written some great devotions that use a good bit of scripture each day. Start there. But at the end of this Christmas season, then take your Bible and begin to dig deeper, maybe start in the Gospel of John, and we'll start with one of the Bible reading plans we have available on our website, albertvillefbc.church. There are tips there and techniques and helps to help you study God's Word, but if we are ever going to be people of grace and truth, if we're ever going to be people of the Word, we have to know the Word. So I encourage you to start by reading the Word and to live there and to go there. And then lastly, Joseph practiced radical immediate obedience. Every time he dreamed, he woke up and did what it said to do. When's the last time you practiced radical, immediate obedience? When's the last time I did? I often need to think about it a little while or reason with the Lord a little while or wait and think about certain things. Here's the reality. The next time God says to do something through his word, just take the next right step in front of you. That step of obedience, that's what he calls us to do. So what do we do in our lives? Can you, like Joseph, make the decision that says, I know who I am and who I am matters? Will you be a person of the word? If you're not sure where to start, come see me afterwards. We'll talk. I'll be glad to help you. Will you be a person of grace and truth? If you've received grace, you can give it. If you've received mercy, you can show it. If you've received kindness, you can pass it on. We can do that. We can make a difference in others. And will you and I be people who will stop and understand that we are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God? He wants to use us as his ambassadors. He wants to use us as his change agents. He wants to use us to be a light in a dark world. Next Sunday night, we start our first of three carols, communions, and candles service. It's one of my favorite services of the year. Honestly, it's probably my very favorite service of the year every year. And listen, I know it happens every year, so there's no surprise what's coming at the end. But every year, like clockwork, you turn the lights out and light candles and pass those around. And we pass what we call the Christmas flame to one another. It's a reminder that we are light in the dark world. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Friends, we all have a part to play in that. We light one candle. It's a good bit of light in the room. We light hundreds of candles. This place begins to glow. That's God's call. Know who you are. As you walk into the rest of this Advent season, go be his light. If we will all go be his light, this community will glow. Others will see it. In dark places of this community, in dark places of your family, in dark places of your business, be a light. So will you learn to be like Joseph? Will you learn to trust like Joseph? Would you bow with me for just a moment? With your heads bowed, you are a royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the King. Will you live like it? You are a person of grace and truth. Will you extend grace to others and show mercy and kindness? You're a person of God's word, or you can be. Will you commit to study his word, to read it, to get to know him better? Be committed to that as we walk into 2025. Let this be the year of the Bible in your life. Because it's God's word that brings change. Paul tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. The way your mind is renewed is through the word of God. And then lastly, Joseph practiced radical instant obedience. Will you just make the commitment to take the next right step in front of you every time God tells you something from his word? Every promise that you read, will you take the next right step and obey it? Every principle that you read, will you take the next right step and try to live it out? Every command that you read, will you take the next right step and try to do what it says to do? Every praise that you read, will you take the next right step and echo it back to God? Father God, as we come to our end of our time together, this short message is just a reminder that what we learned from Joseph, truthfully, from the Christmas story, we probably know as little about him as we do anyone. He disappears from the scene fairly early on in the life of Jesus. And we just don't know what happens to him. We just know he's not there during Jesus' ministry. We know he's not there during the crucifixion or the resurrection or post-resurrection. So our only assumption is that sometime years before that, he's brought home. He leaves this earth. And God, every person in this room, like Joseph, will have a time where we will breathe our last breath and we too will leave this earth. And God, for all of us who know you, may we understand that even though ultimate life comes when we enter the presence of God for all eternity, that you give us a way to live eternal life right here. So may we live as a light and example. May we live like Joseph. May we live as a man of your word and a woman of your word, as a man or woman of grace and truth, as a man or woman who takes the next right step in front of us, as a man or woman who walks as a royal son and daughter of the King. God, help us to do that until we breathe our last breath on this earth and go to be with you. Thank you for another opportunity to serve you. May we follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You know this song. You've sung it. If you grew up in church, you've sung it your entire life. If you're new to church, you probably still have heard it before. If not, it's so simple, but it's a prayer of commitment that says, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. It's what we say to the Lord. So I want to invite you as we sing this, let it be your commitment prayer to him. If you need to come and pray, come and pray. You want to pray with me, I'll be right here. You have another decision to make, I'll be right here. But let the song be your commitment that says, God, I want to be like Joseph, the other dreamer. God, I want to know who I am in you and who I am matters. Help me be these things. Let's stand together as we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see. I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father God, I pray that every one of us would take serious the portrait that you've given us of the life of one man and how he lived it. And God, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to see a way we can live that out. Lord, may we be reminded, just like he is not the central figure of the nativity story, neither are we the central figure of the Savior story. But what a blessing that you let us be a part of it. That you call us just like you called Joseph. You equip us just like you equipped Joseph. You use us just like you used Joseph. So God, we couldn't ask for anything more. May we be a part of your saving story of the world. May we be part of your salvation story for the world. We thank you for that, Father. Lord, my prayer is that as we leave this place after a few announcements in a moment, we would all leave here with the song in our mouth, in our mind, running through it, reminding us that we have decided to follow you by living our lives the way you've called us to. May we go be light in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.